Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps of all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, A&E to Bravo and more, no show is off limits to the truth as I see it, all from the couch just like you. I'm Jody, your inner voice and best friend who says all the things you're thinking, but you have the manners to never say aloud. Be sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss a week, and find me everywhere at Reality TV Pod. Support the show and score some amazing perks and merch, as well as some bonus episodes at Patreon.com/RealityTVPod. Now sit back, it's time to get salty. Hello and welcome back. Do I sound another year sexier? Yes, I'm another year older. I don't know about sexier. Probably a couple more wrinkles and spots that my dermatologist needs to check out. But yeah, 39 is not so bad, you guys. With all the birthday wishes and the hysterical memes and gifts, you guys just made my day. So thank you very much. Super thoughtful of you, especially when I share my birthday with some, well, not some of my favorite people, I'll just say that, or not my favorite person. If you know me politically, you know who I'm talking about. Anyway, I do want to thank my newest Patreon subscribers. Wow, what a way to make my birthday. Karen, Tammy, Catherine, LR, I love the little pseudonym, keeps it very mysterious. Morgan, Rhonda, Melinda, Portia, June, and Millie. Thank you. Your stickers are going to be out in the mail shortly. Some of you may have gotten them already. If not, trust me, they are on their way. Now, speaking of Patreon, coming up this week, because this episode today is just jam-packed, I am going to be talking about Love After Lockup and Teen Mom OG with the one and only star of Extreme Forensics, Amanda Kuczynski. Now, Amanda and I, we also have Total Request podcast together, which if you are not subscribed, I'm not trying to just like push you over there for your $4 a month that we split. It, honest to God, is so much fun to record. We laugh our asses off. We come up with just the most bizarre, deeply rooted, traumatic memories in the back of our minds to bring up in each other. It's just hysterical. Or at least, hey, we're having a good time. I hope you guys are laughing along with us. So speaking of Total Request podcast, this week coming up, we watched an episode of America's Next Top Model. It's the season with Jade and Joni, who is now on Trading Spaces. Whatever year this was recorded, there's no way this show could be on the air now, right? I mean, just the, I won't get into it. You'll have to listen to that. So that's at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. But this week here on this podcast that you're going to listen to right now, I'm going to be talking about 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After because, of course, I also watched the first episode. It was like 2 hours long. Wow, I forgot how long the show is. Married at First Sight. This could be a pretty great season. I skipped last season, really had to take a break after the whole Dr. Jessica and John debacle. But this season, wow, there's one couple. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, but I can tell you this chick is going to drive me up a fucking wall. Then after Married at First Sight, we got to talk some 90 Day Fiancé the other way. This show is so, so good. I'm really glad they did this. I only wish they would have done it sooner because I tell you what, I know someone very near and dear to me who would have quite the story. She and her soon-to-be ex. I mean, holy shit. Wow. Maybe that'll have to be a Patreon if TLC doesn't want to, you know, ring her up. Anyone know Sharp Entertainment? Give me a call because I got a story for you. All right. Well, you know what? Let's just jump right into it because, like I said, we have a lot to talk about. Let's start with 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. I probably would have made more sense to do that last because, you know, Happily Ever After. But come on, doesn't have to be all punny here. Now, I should preface this in saying my DirecTV Now frickin' sucks. Anyone else have this issue? I recorded 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After not once, not twice, three different times at three different, you know, times at whatever it was, 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And all three times, it was saying I couldn't access the episode, so I had to catch it in some weird streaming thing, and I only got like an hour of it. So if I missed a whole second hour, number one, I'm going to be pissed. And number two, I'm going to have to apologize because I have no way to access this thing. I can't stream it. I can't download it. Whatever the issue is, I'm freaking pissed. And DirecTV Now fucking sucks. Also, Ashley and Jay suck. So nope, right over them. Russ and Paula. Well, Paula's still on this. I want to have the baby naturally, not in a hospital. So she's going to have the baby at home. The tub with the lady with the dreads and the armpits and the boobs hanging out wasn't her cup of tea. I don't blame her. Again, this is nothing against birthing centers or doulas, midwives. I just wish the lady would have covered up a little bit. That's all I'm saying. So Paula, oh God, okay, yeah, she doesn't want to push the baby out in Russ's car, so she's going to have the baby at home, and she puts the mattress way too low on the crib. What are you thinking? That's for when they're able to stand up. Russ is going to have to just take that whole thing apart again, lift the screws up. New parents out there, or people who've had children, period, you know that that mattress was way too low and you were screaming with me. I know you were. Now, Elizabeth and Andre. It is baby shower day, which means little old Libby gets to be spoiled even more than she is every other frickin' day when her rent and utilities are being paid by her daddy dearest. This chick is just insufferable. I feel like every week the color that she is wearing on her dress, that purple gets brighter, the lipstick gets more matte, more deep, and her lip gets all wonky. I can't stand her. Now, her sister, Becky, however, who has driven me nuts in the past, I liked her in this episode. It could be because she's just in complete contrast of Elizabeth and Andre, who are both assholes. But she planned this gorgeous baby shower. Weird that it was for family only, probably because Elizabeth is that type of girl that once she gets a boyfriend or a husband, she just ditches all of her other friends. So it's only family, but still, the house looked beautiful. There's like flowers everywhere. There's this weird balloon arch thing, the whole nines. I mean, Elizabeth even crimped 2/3 of her hair for the event, so it's pretty serious. But here comes Sister Jen. This is the one that was making those amazing looking sandwiches for her kids for lunch when I forgot what it was, but I can remember the sandwiches, of course. So here comes Jen walking in her blush pink blazer, and she's invited by Becky. You know, that crazy bitch who's hosting the party at her house. I know, how dare she invite her own sister to her other sister's shower in her own home? Well, apparently Andre, he's got like the bouncer bug back in him again. Remember back in Ireland when he was a big, scary bouncer? Why don't you take that terrible attitude and resentfulness out on a club patron while earning a paycheck out at an actual club? Go back to bouncing instead of trying to bounce people out of your sister-in-law's home, you fucking asshole. And I do not buy for a second this is some Moldovan characteristic. It's just a controlling jerk characteristic. And the other thing I don't buy is Elizabeth's attitude in the car when she's like, oh no, you just need to knock it off. I think she gets off on it. She may be saying that in the moment, probably because the cameras are there, but overall, she loves being controlled by Andre. For now, that's probably going to wear off and it's going to be a real nasty divorce, but she's got to take some sort of ownership in this. And that's why I cannot wait to see how they try to spin this whole relationship dynamic of theirs on the tell-all. Fingers crossed we get a host that's really gonna drive the point home to Moldova. All right, Colt and Larissa, we are jumping into like the end of this fight that they're having about money. Well, it's not really the end of the fight, just the beginning of the end. And it's about money over Larissa's hair appointment. Colt is just in a tizzy. I don't think we've ever seen him in the midst of being tormented. Well, he's always tormented, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he is all kinds of worked up and he's making these make it rain moves. Like, you know, he saw it in like our 2004 rap video. I don't know. What's the one guy? Thong Song, Cisco or something. Like, he's making it rain his singles so that Larissa can go to Supercuts and get her hair cut. He's had it with these demands of money, and so he stomps upstairs to his room like an overgrown middle schooler. And then we do not see them for a huge part of the episode, and they're giving us real-time footage of what went down on social media several months ago that we were all on pins and needles about. If you remember, Larissa was in the bathroom, and she was blasting Colty's phone number out and saying that she needs to be rescued, so of course, people are going to reach out and try to help. If you send alarm signals like that out, people truly do want to help. Not everyone are complete assholes. At the end of the day, obviously no one wants anyone to get hurt, which I forgot to bring this up earlier. Seeking Sister Wives, Bernie McGee passed away. It sounds very tragically. He was riding his bike. He had a heart attack, and it's horrible. I feel badly, of course, for his kids. His kids were so, so sweet. And Bernie's reputation really got just dragged through the mud at the end of the season. And I think it's terrible that that's going to be part of his legacy. I hope it's not. I mean, he was a good dad. My heart goes out to Paige and the kids because no one deserves that. Someone, they're losing their husband and their dad, and it's just horrible. And wow, great place to just jump back into Larissa and Colt. Never said I was good at a transition. So, right. Okay, so she's locked in the bathroom. People on social media find out how to send the police to Colt's house. Larissa is ultimately arrested for domestic battery again. And now Colt has to call up Debbie, who is on holiday. All of a sudden, Colt is deciding that he is European and calling vacations holiday. And he tells Deb to get the bubbly ready. Oh, sorry. I mean, he's going to tell her the bad news. So Debbie is quite the actress, I gotta give it to her, and so is Colt. I mean, you could barely find him in that living room hiding in the camouflage chair, but when you did, he proved to be such a soldier. Find out what he's gonna do to get Larissa out because he has no collateral, he has no cash because remember he was making it rain earlier on the way to Supercuts, so he's just gonna have to wait it out until the judge hears her case and sets her bail. Now let's move on to Pedro and Chantel. Hold on to your LuLaRoe. Chantel has found an even uglier striped pant company. I don't know what the fuck she was wearing. I don't know if this was like a Sound of Music thing where she took down the drapes and sewed them into pants or something. Whatever the fuck she is wearing was horrible. I want to thank whatever company it is because I feel like they really have the ability to bring together nations. You know, we can all come together over laughter, over whatever it is that Chantel is wearing. She just sucks. She is the most disrespectful and rude little shit out of anyone on this show. And yeah, I know Pedro's sister is a total snot, and I'll get to her in a second. But when Chantel is talking about this conversation between herself and Mother Pedro that we saw last week, she's playing it out like she was the victim. Like Pedro's mom and sister just came out of nowhere and were disrespectful to her. No, you sat down in her home and did the most disrespectful and rude shit. And oh God, she's just ultimate projection. And of course, she learned it from her family. Do we know, by the way, if her family show is a go? Was it already on? Is it going to be on? I would hope after this season, people are going to tune out. I'm pissed if they got paid for something. Anyhow, Pedro's mom and sister, they're selfish, they're bratty, but Chantel isn't any better. To be comparing herself against them, no, no, no. And yeah, for whatever reason, I am biased. I'm with Pedro on this one. If Chantel doesn't like what's going on there, fly back to Atlanta. Exactly what Pedro said. She's there to cause more drama, not to solve the problem. This is not the time to solve the problem. So just go home. You can spend one-on-one time and spend time together walking around like a fucking slow giraffe anywhere. You don't have to do it here. Let him spend time with his family and leave. Well, the last scene that I was able to see, again, DirecTV, you fucking suck, is where Chantel slow walks her way to the table where she's meeting Pedro's sister. You know, she has every intention of defending her family, which is precisely what Pedro is doing. That's what Chantel is not seeing. He's defending his mom and sister, just like she is defending her brother and family. The difference is Chantel's family started the fight. River hit the lamp. Pedro stood up and went around the table. How it is that Pedro's family is in trouble for that, it's just bullshit. Can't stand freaking Chantel. But again, Pedro's mom and sister are complete narcissists as well. Now, I did not see any Nicole and Azin, and if I missed it in the last however many minutes I missed because of DirecTV, I'm going to have to take some more CBD oil, which by the way, I forgot who it was that recommended a different brand to me because the first brand it got tasted like concentrated horse piss. The second one is some sort of like cinnamon flavor. It's delicious, and I think it is working a little bit. I think I need a higher dose because, you know, I'm 39. It's because my age grew, not my body, you guys. All right, let's take a quick break, and then I'm going to be back with Married at First Sight. All right, I have an awesome podcast recommendation for you. It's called Bad Examples with host Tracy DeMarco of Jerseylicious and Jessica Romano of Glam Fairy. They are back with season two, and they are giving advice about everything under the sun, ranging from sex, friendship, marriage, grief, food, and they're making all the same mistakes as we are, so we can take their word for it and laugh along with them. They have live audience call-ins, guest games. They're absolutely a blast to follow on social media. And, you know, Trey and Jay are here for you. So subscribe to Bad Examples. They have new episodes released every Tuesday. You're going to love it. Again, that's Bad Examples with host Tracy DeMarco and Jessica Romano. Check it out. I am back into Married at First Sight, baby. I am in. I forgot how much I love to hate this show and love to love it at times. Now, a little different mix up this season. Dr. Jessica is not back because, you know, there might be some sort of like ethical thing or not. Let's not get into that whole thing. She and John Francetic or whatever the hell his name is, they're engaged and they're together. Go look at their Instagrams. They'll tell you all about it. This season, we have Dr. Viviana. She's a therapist and a sex therapist. We have Pastor Cal, of course, and can't forget her, Dr. Pepper. Now, our first couple we meet are Iris and Keith. Iris is a 27-year-old virgin, and you know we're going to be hearing that every, 35 seconds this season. And Keith is called the mentor. It's like in quotes under his name, the mentor. She is very religious, loves squirrels. That's weird. He's a basketball coach and focused on his career, and he is in desperate need of a new cooking pan. I was gagging when he was stirring up his taco meat or whatever. Time to invest in a new Calphalon. I can never say it right. Now, they got matched because they both have positive family systems. They like to help others. And also because she's a virgin and Keith is, and I'm not making this up, Dr. Pepper said, because she's a virgin, she needs someone who is patient, kind, and he's also all about the family cookouts. Hopefully not with that pan because someone's catching salmonella and diarrhea. Now, Elizabeth and Jamie, this is the couple to watch. They are the only reason for me to watch right now. Elizabeth is 30, and holy good God, if I am anything like this woman, just turn the podcast off right now. Send me a personal email and just tell me to shut the fuck up. She is going to drive me insane. She works for her dad, and we're going to be hearing about daddy all season. You know what's going to happen. She's a self-proclaimed daddy's girl who loves a kooky ukulele in her bedroom, and she thinks she is hilarious. Yeah, I can't stand her. So she's lounging on the bed like she's a JCPenney model. She's got this funky Pinterest project. Did you see this with the paint? And she's like spilling it all over and then propping it up. And she's doing the Nickelodeon arm and big eyes and mouth motions like, ooh, I did it. And then she gets dressed up in a cocktail dress, walks out onto her own balcony and does the slow blinking like she's in a music video in 1988. And best of all, on her nightstand, I know you saw it and you were all screaming with me, she's got one of those word art block things and it says, I can't adult today. Elizabeth, I can't Elizabeth today. Okay. That's what I need to make a Pinterest project of my own that says, I can't Elizabeth today. Good God. It's like a sizzle reel for a reality show spinoff, like a modern day soap opera that she is desperately wanting to be part of. It's insane. Now, Jamie is who she got matched up with. And at first, I thought he looked like a human pickle. He thinks very highly of himself. But then it occurred to me later on the wedding day that he's just a bald Jerry Seinfeld. I'm really hoping it doesn't work out for these two because it is so blatantly obvious. These two are separated at birth. They have the same face. Just look at them side by side. I tweeted about it. It's on my Instagram. I'll put it in the Facebook group. It's no wonder they're compatible because they share the same biological DNA. They're fraternal twins, no doubt about it. Now we got to talk about Amber, who is 27. She's the tomboy. And Matt, who is he probably is like half giant. And he is what they describe as looking for the home game. I don't get it either. So already I was watching these two and I'm thinking, oh, here go Helcom, because the only Amber and Matt I know are Amber and Matt from Teen Mom. And we all know how that polygraph went down, right? So it turns out that Amber has been single for so many reasons. She doesn't even know where to start. I mean, it has been years, so many reasons. She doesn't wear makeup. She doesn't like glitzy stuff. She's got some mommy issues because her mom left her and her twin sister and her dad for another woman when she was 7, and she really likes to jog and wear gray. Enter Matt, who is, I don't know if he's currently, at one point it said professional basketball player, and then it said former. Anyhow, he has played across the world. Like I said, he's got to be like 6'7 or 6'8. He is tall. He probably has been scoring more points than we can imagine throughout all of his professional basketballism. And I was thinking, what the hell were the experts thinking? Because I don't really see a whole lot of compatibility at this point. Hold on, I'm getting there. You know, they like exercising and both their parents are divorced. So at that point, if I'm just looking at that, I think we could all just spin around the room and point to two people and they can match those descriptions. More on them and their wedding day in just a couple minutes. But first, we got to meet our other couples. We have Deanna, who has been 10 years single, and Greg, who is ready to love again. Deanna loves the Lord. She loves stuffed animals and she loves bobby pins. Like, she's got a whole package of them all over her head. Maybe she has some sort of bobby pin magnet that all of mine in the wash and the laundry all throughout my life have found their way to her and she's just sticking them in her head. I don't get that whole look. Now, Greg was engaged before. It didn't work out, but he really wants to get married. He too loves the Lord. And listen, he's ready for a wife to come home, and she's already got her own ginormous beanbag. There's two of them. I think they were beanbag footrest. What woman wouldn't love to just dive into those? Now, then we get to the day where all of the, I was going to say contestants, couples, singles, they're going to tell their friends and family about being matched and married. And first up, Elizabeth. I just cannot with this chick. It's like she thinks this is my super sweet 16. She's spinning around. It's her 30th birthday. She's wearing this disco ball shimmery dress. I mean, it was cute. But when you spin around at age 30 going, it's my birthday, bitches. Yes. Like the YAAASSS. And then start saying things like, daddy's credit card. Ew. Stop that. That's why you're single. You're about 20 years too late for that whole Paris Hilton thing. Danny's credit card, that's hot. Ugh, can't stand her. Now, Jamie tells his parents they're actually, strangely enough, very normal. They're adorable. Jamie's dad, turns out, he's the love child of Dr. Phil and Mr. Feeney from Boy Meets World. Who knew? Now, Deanna's family is super cute. Remember, she is the 10-year single girl. They are super supportive of her. They're, you know, joking around with her. It was very cute. Greg's mom, Alma, he calls her up on the phone. She's going to be the one to watch, Mother Alma. I'm telling you right now, as soon as our media darling said, is she ugly? I mean, I had to have her. I need to have Alma in my life. And also, if you watch Teen Mom, don't you think Greg resembles Javi? Think about it. Next time you watch, just have it in the back of your mind. There are striking similarities between Greg and Javi. Now let's talk about Amber and Matt, not to be confused with the Teen Mom, Amber and Matt. Amber, she's adorable. She really is. She tells her family she's getting married. They're all pretty supportive, and her dad is just so freaking cute. He's like a very lovable southern raccoon. And Matt, well, there's a whole interesting spin here because his parents are divorced. He talks about it being a very tough time. He hasn't spoken with his dad in a while. There's probably something more to that, but all we know is that his parents are not going to be at the wedding either. And he tells his friend is going to be the best man, whatever, boring. Oh, we have Iris's mom. She's gorgeous. She's all about it. But Keith, her match, her soon-to-be husband, His parents are skeptical, and they're actually kind of upset about it. They're pretty emotional, but you never know how editing is. Well, then we go to the bachelor and bachelorette parties, and this time they have all the women together and all the guys together doing joint bachelorette parties. I am definitely not a fan of the bachelorette party that went on. I'm not a big stripper fan. I thought it was kind of gross, but Amber started winning me over there because she was clearly drunk. She was letting loose. I thought it was pretty funny. Now let's talk about wedding days. First up, we have Greg and Deanna. They ended up looking really cute together. They're a cute little couple. The little drama that was thrown in there when Greg learned that Deanna had been single for 10 years. But, you know, so far so good. There really weren't any huge highs or lows or scary moments. I'm going to say first prediction with these two. It's going to start off well, but I don't think they're going to stay together. There's my prediction. Now, next up, let's talk about Amber and Matt. Now, again, his family is not attending the wedding, so I would think it would set off alarm bells for Amber, as it would for anyone. But as soon as Matt comes out and Amber's friends and family are all staring at him, saying like, holy shit, he's hot. One of the women on her side was like lifting her jaw off the ground several times. And I think Amber's friend, the one that ran up and introduced herself, I think she's jealous. I think she wants a piece of Matt for herself. So like I said, I was a little worried about these two because they just seemed very different, not only size-wise, because she's like a mini and he's a biggie. I don't know. It just didn't seem like there was a whole lot compatible. But listen, together, they were actually very sweet. He found her attractive. She thought he was attractive. I love that she is less shy than I had assumed. And shame on me for thinking that way. But she's super confident. She's like, yeah, I want to keep kissing you. I'm kind of digging her. I'm rooting for them. But I think, okay, if I had to make a prediction, I don't think they're going to stay together. I want them to, though. All right, now Elizabeth and Jamie. Oh, wait, psych. They're holding off till next week. Well, like I said, this is when I realized that Jamie looks like a bald Jerry Seinfeld. And Elizabeth, I think the dress is very flattering on her. I would have done her hair a little bit differently. That's all I'm saying. Like, just something simple and back because the dress is a little fancy. Dress is not so simple, so keep other things simple. I'm a stylist, you guys. It's just what I do. As I am wearing my Women's March t-shirt and jeans that I've worn for 2 days. Only 88 more days, and then I could have a 90-day fiancé the other way. With my jeans, I guess. Don't know where that joke was going, but right after the break, I'll be back with 90-day fiancé the other way. I am issuing a formal thank you on behalf of all of us to The Learning Channel. TLC, thank you for programming 90 Day Fiancé the other way for a Monday evening. It gets 99% of us through the day on Monday, and for that, we thank you. Now let's start with Jenny and Sameet. Remember, it is not Sameet anymore, it is Sameet, and she's waiting at the airport, and man, it sure seemed like a full 7 days, so I was shocked when it said 1 hour later, and Sameet comes walking up, and he cleans up very nicely, I have to say. But, you know, an hour, that's not that long to wait, right? Like, I think I would have waited maybe 2 hours before I started freaking out. But, you know, that's just me. I'm normally so calm and cool and collected, right, you guys? Now, I want to talk about Sameet's hair for just a moment. I really thought the look that he had going on at the airport, he had kind of a high and tight. I'd say he probably got his hair cut at like a 2 on the sides, but it was cut much higher. In his talking heads, his hair has grown out like an inch beyond the crown portion of his head. Not a good look. I don't like it. I mean, maybe Jenny likes running her hair because it was kind of long and stringy. But maybe she likes running her fingers through the sides of his head. It's not a look that I enjoy. He looks nice at the airport is what I'm trying to say. Now, I was more nervous than Jenny was about this apartment situation. I have seen An Idiot Abroad. I saw the nice hotel that Carl Pilkington stayed at. I had some major concerns. But all in all, this apartment was not terrible. The bathroom was most certainly used in one of the Saw movies, but I get it. It's India. It's not the American norm like all of us spoiled Americans are used to. So way to go, Sameet. You made Jenny happy, and by golly, you got America rooting for your love story. Now, next week looks a little interesting because you see a little bit of Sameet's more controlling, concerning part come out because Jenny, you know, she's an independent woman. She is Beyonce. She does not want Sameet having anything to say while they are sorry shopping. So looking forward to that. Now let's move on to Tiffany and Frederick. This storyline, I love the kid, but it's boring, right? Maybe once we get Frederick in there, it'll pick up the pace a little bit. But in this episode, we have Tiffany and her son Daniel, who is so freaking adorable. This kid, he was tugging at my heart. Definitely not my ovaries, because I am done with that chapter of my life. But Daniel appears to be really excited. Whatever Tiffany has told him, it's working. But here's the other thing with that. Whatever she is saying to him is working. Daniel's a kid, and there's no way that he knows what moving to the other side of the world to a different culture entails. It's sweet that he wants Ronald to be his dad, but this gives me May and Nicole vibes, right? I mean, to be saying, I can't wait to, what did he say, like hug him or cuddle Ronald, something like that. I don't know if you should be referring to someone else as dad, even if the kid brought it up. Don't refer to the guy as dad until at least they've met. If it were my kid and they were saying, oh, we're going to go meet dad, I'd be like, well, it's Ronald. Maybe someday if we, build a family together. You guys know what I'm saying, all right? Now let's talk about this scene with little Daniel and his friend. Jesus. I feel like if you did not get choked up watching this scene, you might just be a Nicole. There is a major gummy bear gap where your heart should be. When he hugged his friend and he walked away and he started crying, what a sweetheart. And really, with that, they were off. They're on the airplane and Tiffany's off to risk a perfectly normal life here in America for a man in South Africa that she thinks may have changed. All right, good luck with that. Fingers crossed. No Corey and Evelyn this week, so I guess we got to go on to Paul and Karini. Paul has worked his four brain cells really hard over the past couple days and made the decision to pare down all the shit that he's bringing down to Brazil, and he got his luggage down to two bags, finally. So he's dressed himself in his brightest Caillou blue shirt, and he is off to Brazil. Meanwhile, Karini... Oh my God, I had so many flashbacks here. I mean, Karini, I never knew, starred in the high school miniseries that played in every high school across America in the early 1990s. Who would have known? She has not aged a bit. This cheesy English school, honest to God, it was the backdrop for a miniseries that I watched in high school where we learned Spanish. It was like high school kids in a room with like the pop art graffiti bubble letters on the wall. It was so amazing just to hop right back into the 90s. I felt young again. This teacher, I don't know whether I want to diss him or just really question what textbooks they are using, because I'm pretty sure they were the textbooks that we all sent to be disposed of in Brazil's landfills. The question, what is your favorite instrument? My favorite instrument is the harp. I mean, nothing against the harp. It's a beautiful instrument. Angels play it, for Christ's sake. But I don't think it is one of the top picks amongst the early 20s demographic. I mean, not enough to be taught in English 101, right? And then, do you like pop music? All that made me think of was Paul and Karini going out for a little mommy and daddy date night out and busting out some dance moves at a Brazilian pop club. Paul's got the baggy pants on. Probably can't lift his legs because he's wearing those heavy as hell boots. But man, what I would give to see these two like pop and lock, maybe sing along to a little. Oh, let's fan fiction this out for a second. Okay, what would be Paul's favorite music? Really, in all honesty, it's probably some sort of like country music. I don't know a lot of country music things. I was going to say Vince Gill. I don't think is he alive anymore? No, country music, that is Toby Keith. Isn't he a country person? Luke Bryan? He sang that Country Girl song. I know that. but let's think pop music. Oh, okay, hold on, I got it. Paul is a huge Nickelback fan. He loves some Nickelback and some Train, perhaps some, like Ozzy Osbourne. I can see him getting into like the heavy metal stuff. What about Carini? Carini is definitely into, what is it, K-pop? I always want to call it like Nexium because there's some sort of like letters with the K-pop band guys. She's definitely into that kind of stuff. And maybe old school Backstreet Boys. She's definitely more of a Backstreet than an NSYNC. Okay, so there's my fan fiction tangent for today. Let's meet Brother Bonnie. I think he's really cute, you guys. I'm not into younger guys, but if Bonnie is not popular amongst the ladies in Brazil, I think he would kill it here in America. He would be like the sweetest foreign exchange student in some small rural public high school. Can't you see it? Well, let's jump to Paul landing in Brazil while Bonnie is like flying on the first flight out of here because he can't stand Paul, nor can any of us. So Paul lands and he is ready for combat. He's got on this backpack with armor that I think weighs more than him. And of course, he's got the neck pillow and Jacob Marley's chains. He is just cling clanging all over the damn place. And, you know, if nothing draws more attention to yourself on a scary, dangerous street, it would be chains dragging against concrete and you lugging your heavy shoes up and down stairs. Frickin' Paul. Then Paul unlocks this pocket door. Have you ever seen a front door that's a pocket door? Maybe that's why the neighborhood is so dangerous. Let's move to like actual doors. A pocket door? That's not going to protect you. Brazil, come on. If you can do that big Jesus guy on the mountain, isn't that where, now I feel like an idiot. You know what I'm talking about. Christ the Redeemer, isn't he in Brazil? If you can build that up there, I'm pretty sure you can build a front door instead of a pocket door. Anyhow, Paul sneaks in to Carini's apartment. There are no lights on, and he slowly stalks through the kitchen. It's like a horror movie. Gets to the bedroom doorway. Again, a very pregnant and nearly naked Carini has no idea that he's coming, and he just flings open the bedroom door and surprises her. I mean, you know how lucky he is that he did not get killed in that moment? Carini should absolutely have a plan of attack at this point. She has grown up in Brazil, apparently in a dangerous neighborhood. How does she not have a plan besides just jumping up in a bra and underwear? I have an attack plan for every possible scenario if I'm attacked when I'm sleeping. Some involve knives. I have a certain move that I plan to use with my lamps. I have it all planned out. It's very strategic. I even thought of it when I bought the lamps for my rooms. Some of my plans involve broken glass. I have others. I'm not going to tell you about it in case one of you is my future attacker. You don't like something I say about Paul and you come and attack me. But seriously, Paul, it's a bad idea to sneak into any dark place, whether you have a key to the place or not. I don't think I'm alone in this, right? I mean, if you surprise me, jump out at me, or tickle me, I reflexively kick like Jennifer Grey in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know, when Principal Rooney shows up in the kitchen and she does like this triple kick in lightning speed. That's what I do if you jump out and surprise me in my home. I turn into like a Radio City Rockette. That leg is kicking high with full force. Now let's talk about Carini here because I'm not a huge fan of hers either. She's really kind of, okay, absolutely a brat. But, you know, let's just talk on a level and at a place where we've all wanted to discuss this. I'm putting it out there. Let's just say it. Would it kill her to shower more than once a week? Maybe request a dry shampoo from Paul to squeeze into that backpack? Screw the horde of stuffed animals. I mean, that's concerning on so many levels. I saw those emoji pillows laying on the floor. Can you imagine what those things have seen? And that unicorn hanging storage bunk bed feature that was in the corner. Those things may never fly again after seeing Paul and Carini's magical moments. I mean, I guess it's no surprise because Carini did find Paul attractive enough to procreate with him. Just the girl, it really annoys me when she knows she's being filmed and her hair is disgusting. I mean, pull it back in a ponytail or, I don't know, there's got to be something. Just rinse your head, shower a little bit. I know I sound like a complete and utter nasty bitch right now, but I just had to say it. But Creanie's glad to see Paul, though. There we go. All right. Well, I'm very glad to see Laura from Florida. Love Laura. And I love her adoptive brother, really meaning her friend, Ludwig. Now, Ludwig's grilled cheese, however, I don't know what that was. I feel like I looked away for just a moment and he was putting like plums and maple syrup on this cheese sandwich. And I'm not shading him because I really just think he needs his own show. Certainly not a cooking show, but I could have listened to him and watched him talk for the whole rest of the evening. I want to know everything about him. He was wearing a wedding band, so I want to know who is his partner. How did they meet? I want to know where he's from. I detected a bit of an accent. I also saw a high chair in the corner. So is there a baby or is the high chair for maybe someone who couldn't reach the tabletop? Like a grandchild? I mean, what were you guys thinking? Jerks, you know I was not thinking what you were thinking. Now, long grilled cheese sandwich cut in half. What was that? Ludwig thinks Laura could be making a big mistake, but what can he do? I'll tell you what he can do. He can tell us what the hell is in that sandwich and why does he need to constantly shimmy the pan to and fro. Lots of questions for Ludwig. He better... You know what? I bet you they're going to bring him back for a 90-day live. I don't think he would make it to the tell-all, but I definitely think he could be someone on the 90-day live. Someone contact Michelle Collins and make sure that he gets on the show. All right, well, that's it for the show this week, you guys. Remember to check out patreon.com/realitytvpod to hear this week's recap of Love After Lockup as well as Teen Mom OG. Wow, there's a lot to unpack there. Check out Total Request Podcast. That's at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. And remember, always check out Moms on the Rocks. Carrie and I are having a blast over there. And until next time, you guys have an awesome summer week and stay salty.